Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kieran Kapoor. Charles, we're still in the area of growth and growth markets. What were you finding this week?
Well, I think we found two and possibly three point out. One was a news item this morning, which I thought was quite interesting, was that pointing out that there are still discrepancies in the football kit for women players. And this obviously is a major marketplace as the sector is in growth. And there's a demand for more specific product aimed at the user, providing the standard footwear, which was designed for men, isn't necessarily going to be the right sort of thing. And in many instances, it's probably going to be damaging, it seems, so from what I was hearing. So I'm surprised at that. And I think that there are still considerable opportunities for the tailoring of a one size fits all to more segmented marketplaces. And certainly has been the case for quite a long time as women have become much more empowered in the marketplace and certainly are worthy of major consideration in terms of people's marketing budgets, and the way in which you segment the marketplace should undoubtedly draw consideration.
I just find it so frustrating. I mean, there was a few years back, every company decided they wanted the female marketplace. They made everything pink so you could buy pink power drills and pink other things. Now, the Barbie movie has sort of reclaimed pink, which in a way I was very pleased about. But I remember being frustrated, and we must be going back at least 15 years when power tools were not redesigned for what is a smaller female hand, but just coloured pink because that would be acceptable. And I really hoped we had broken this now, that we realise that safety equipment has to be designed for the female body and female proportions as well as male equipment. I mean, the time was that women couldn't get proper safety gear for in boots and things because it was all designed on a male foot. But surely this is 2024 that we've moved on from this, but apparently not, which is, I find, incredibly frustrating.
Well, I think just hearing you say that, then we could have been saying the same thing, and one will still possibly be saying it in a few years' time. One could have said this in, surely this is 2020. But it's more than that. I think it is an unresponsiveness of mass production to look at new marketplaces. The size of, you're talking about tools then, the size of garden tools hasn't changed for decades, in probably even maybe a century. The standard size of a spade, the standard size of a fork and what have you, are still predicated on what used to be the standard average build, though admittedly then of a man. But the point is that we need to adapt these things to different sizes and different markets. And we certainly have the ability now to produce products which are not just one size fits all. And I think if we're going to look for growth, this is definitely an area which needs significant investment in market research and indeed in marketing. The other area that I was going to mention for growth was the aspect of AI, which we've come back to several times. But there's a good report in The Economist, which is looking at the number of people and companies who are taking up AI and the amount of money that's been invested in applications. Yes, it's large, but the actual sort of cutting edge element for the mass marketplace is limited at the moment. A lot of it is used for case study preparation in various marketplaces. But I do think it's quite interesting to look at the analysis from the research as to which industries are finding AI of significant use and are experimenting with it. Professional services is probably the biggest one after the information sector itself. Because there's a lot of desk work there, which is collating of information, which is in most instances fairly well available, and therefore it's a productivity tool. But the second one, interestingly enough, is the education sector. And I find that really quite interesting because the way in which it's being experimented with, in the way in which we can personalise learning for the individual, which is increasingly important these days as we realise that lifelong learning and maybe even reskilling at various stages is a fundamental part of the way in which we go forward. So it's a very interesting sector analysis in the Financial Times, sorry, in the Economist this week.
AI, of course, is affecting other things. It's I've just had a meeting with the CIM very this week, and one of the biggest problems they've now got is AI in use in assignments. So students, whereas we used to say you've got to sit and write a 3,000-word assignment, learners are perhaps understandably turning around and saying, well, I don't write 3,000-word reports for my business anymore, so why are you making me learn how to do them, which is an argument. So they are turning quite reasonably to the tools that are available. And one of those many tools available to them is AI. And it, rather than get into an arms race, the education has to turn around and go, what are we trying to achieve with our assessments? And is there a better way of doing it than expecting people to churn out long essays and articles? So it's quite an interesting time in education from both sides, both on the teaching side, but also the assessment side.
Yes, I mean, education is about understanding new knowledge and making use of it. The question, therefore, is how do you assess that usage? And it could well be, from a marketer's perspective, in decision-making, which doesn't require 3,000 words. It shows the ability to make a decision given the set of facts and circumstances, and indeed, therefore, to also amend those decisions when the facts change. That's what we do in business, and that's what we're trying to train people to do. The other interesting aspect, perhaps, might be that we should turn it the other way around and actually embrace it and actually say, here is a task. You must use an AI chatbot or an AI platform to produce an assignment.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, you're testing their ability to use the latest technology in a marketing way. And I think that, you know, is a much more embracing way rather than saying this thing is, you know, threatening and has to be avoided. We did the same thing in one respect when we talked about many years ago allowing people to take exams by typing. Oh, no, you can't do that. It's got to be handwritten. No, we now have online proctored exams as a norm. So I think we should embrace it. It's a similar approach to saying, well, there's a lot of people out there who want to protest about all sorts of things. Well, rather than constricting them, why not invite them to come and pitch their ideas at various events and make a sensible, civilized debate of it rather than a war?
I think we're straying away from the use of AI in education, Charles, into other areas. The final thing I wanted to say, because it was an article both in The Guardian and also in The Times today, is quite an interesting one about the rise of tobacco use. I love the way that The Times talks about this as a growth opportunity, and The Guardian talks about it with a cancer warning in their headlines. That just shows you the different types of media. But it was, and both articles were drawing on the fact that between the ages of 18 and 24 are increasingly turning to cigars, cigarillos, and shisha as a way of consuming tobacco and turning away from cigarettes, whereas the over 65s are no longer doing so. And I think you've got some sort of, if I say you've got some personal experience here, Charles, that sounds bad, but I think you've also come across people who are in a younger age bracket that are using cigars and cigarillos.
Yes, there's nothing wrong in saying I have personal experience of this. Yes, the element that I find quite interesting is that from the survey, which comes from nicotine and tobacco research by Oxford academics, the total number of people who are actually now in this category is 770,000 adults. So we are talking a rather small marketplace.
Yeah.
But it is necessarily a fivefold increase over 10 years. I think, again, yes, you're right, we were moving away from the use of AI, but I think it's also one of the elements that one has to consider is that one should perhaps embrace people's opportunities. And in one respect, if people wish to reduce their stress by smoking, in whatever way that might be, then that is a perfectly legitimate thing to do until it is banned. If the government is going to ban it, which they're trying to do for cigarette usage over a period of time, then that is also to be applauded because of the impact that it has through addiction. But this article seems to be indicating that it is low-level usage of non-cigarette tobacco. So we're talking pipes, we're talking cigars, both of which are very expensive and are done perhaps at special occasions. And certainly from my perspective, that's the case. And the case I was talking about was at my son's wedding when majority of smokers were smoking cigars, and the majority of those were in their 30s. And I think that is something that is really quite an interesting opportunity for the manufacturers of cigars and pipe tobacco. And this is something, again, we have to think about niche markets. And I think the overall theme of what we're talking about today is finding niche marketplaces where opportunities still exist. And those marketplaces may well grow and be at the beginning of larger trends.
Lovely to speak as ever, Charles. And I think it's great that we're looking much more at growth opportunities at the moment. Look forward to speaking to you again next week.
OK, we'll see if we can find some more. Thank you.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content
from Cambridge Marketing College.